eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, how y'all doing? It's Spare Time Bowling Show Podcast. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, 1250 AM The Fan. Along with my guy, Dwight Albrecht, over there at the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin, in New Berlin Bowl. And, of course, Phil Brilo, Brew City Bowling on Twitter, with a beverage in hand, streaming live on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page. You can also download Spare Time Bowling Show on your Odyssey app or anywhere you download your favorite podcast. At Dwight Albrecht is here, like I said, on Twitter at Dewey300. And, of course, you can follow me at Sparky Radio. Normally, we do these broadcasts in the 1250 AM The Fan studio, because of schedule conflicts and so forth, we weren't able to. So we're doing this at 9 o'clock Central Time here on Wednesday evening. And Dwight, quick story. I went into the station like I normally do this morning, and Allie Faith from Kiss FM was looking for you. She has something she wants to show you.
On Facebook already.
Oh, did she post it on Facebook? Yes. Allie has her bowling balls from like 2006. When we bowled in the Kiss FM morning show bowling league, and it was at where was it? Was that at New Berlin Bowl? Was that where it was?
No, we did it at B&G when we were on 127th at Burleigh.
Oh, that's where it was. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. At the store, at the golf shop. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. Where was the bowling league?
Yeah. All you guys came over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the bowling league was at AMF West.
AMF West. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's where it was. Okay. Right. Yep. Yeah. So we were over there
in Oklahoma.
Right. So we were there doing the bowling league, and I was talking to her today and going over the different teams that were there, and Wes McCain running around and sliding over in front of people trying to bowl, and the nonsense that was. It was a league back in the day with Wes, Ronnie, and Allie on Kiss FM, a long time, very successful morning show. They decided to have some of their listeners into a bowling league. And that's where Dwight and I kind of met and became buds, and kind of then fast forward, I don't know, was it the next summer or whatever, Dwight was out on his Harley, him and his wife, out at Double D's. And I ran into him there, pitched the bowling show idea. And he's like, yeah, sounds good. Do you think we could really do it for an hour? And a little while later, here we are still doing this damn thing in a podcast.
I think I said a half hour.
Yeah, you said you had done a half hour before, and it seemed like it took forever.
Right.
And you said, I don't think we could do an hour, Spark. Yeah, I'm like, trust me, Dwight. We can do an hour. It'll be fine. It all worked out at the end of the day. So another guy that's been around forever is Pete Weber. And he was there in Missouri, the first ever Pete Weber Missouri Classic. Before we get into the actual results of the show and talking about matches and so forth, I want to start off just talking about Pete Weber. Looked old to me. I haven't seen Pete in years. Like the last time I saw Pete, we were at a bar in South Point together. So it's been a while since I've seen Pete.
7 years, probably
at least. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Me, Tim Allen, and Pete Weber at the bar. So it's been a while, and I saw him on TV and I was like, whoa. And then he started talking. I was like, man, he looks old. He sounds old. he got old. No question. We all get old. I was making fun of Phil and Dwight before we came on the air.
Right.
But I mean, people make fun of me for my gray hair. So we're all aging, and the aging process doesn't stop. But that was the first time where it kind of hit me, like, wow, he's not getting any younger. And you could tell that it meant the world to him, Phil, because he got pretty emotional multiple times throughout this thing.
You know, a couple of years ago in Portland, he did his last stint with the New York, now New Jersey Kingpins. And he came off the lanes after they lost their opening match in 22 and said, that's it, man. I'm done. I can't keep up with the kids anymore. And that was the same week that Norm announced his retirement as well. So it was kind of like going, okay, you know, Norm pulled me to the side. I kind of believe that one a lot more. Like when Norm said he was done, like you knew Norm was done. Never throw another PBA ball again. You knew Pete was still going to pull PBA 50 stuff, but then he tried a couple of tournaments. And then before the U.S. Open this year, we talked about it. Like Pete was fighting to get that exemption in the U.S. Open. And I was like, man, Pete, just go there and just do a night with Pete Weber and just have people come in and watch you bowl and talk to him, that kind of thing. Cause it's going to be tough keeping up with the kids. And that was his wake up call, man. He got to the U.S. Open, he got into it and just wasn't good enough. And then the first round of Missouri, he got on Facebook after it was done. He goes, yeah, basically I just embarrassed myself today. This is a young man's game. I'm going to do the best I can for these last 12 games. But he said he should have given his spot to somebody that deserved it. But he's Pete freaking Weber. You get your send off the way you want it. And, correct. You know, Norm got his send off at Bayside, which was great for Norm. And then Pete got his send off with a tournament named after him. And I'm hopefully I saw some local news in Springfield, Missouri, that said that they're planning on having this event back for several years. And I'm sure Pete's name is going to be attached to it as well. But yeah, Pete's Father Time is undefeated, as our good friend Jeff Rickles from 11frame.com likes to say. And yeah, he looked at this week. You watched him, the clips they had of people on the lanes for his last few shots. Age is getting there. So, and you can keep up with the other guys your age on the PBA 50 tour. I mean, he's reigning PBA 60 player of the year, but to try to keep up with the kids, it's just not going to happen. And it's a great way for Pete to go out.
Your thoughts, Dwight?
I kept thinking that if this doesn't tell the people at home how hard being on the road is, and that lifestyle of being on the road and how quick you age in that type of style, a life that you live, always living out of a suitcase, bowling all those games, probably not eating very healthy. Who knows what else going on? But the thing I noticed is when he clapped, I don't know if he's got arthritis in his hands, but his fingers were kind of going all over the place when he would clap. So I kind of caught that. Great job when they interviewed him. And they talked about all the other people that came ahead of him and that his name is attached to a tournament. I thought it was very classy in how he said it.
Yeah. And like I said, he got emotional to the point where, I mean, we all know Pete, right? I mean, his ego is going to be there right there with anybody else's. So let's not fool ourselves here. But I think what hit him was dudes that are at the top of the game aren't having tournaments named after them that are still bowling. I think it was a moment of closure and kind of closing a chapter on a book type deal and then being honored that way by Tom Clark, who, by the way, as we've always talked about, has done an amazing job. And I really like the idea. And I don't know if it was Pete's decision or if Tom decided he was going to take it upon himself to sit next to Pete the entire tournament. But that was kind of cool, too, seeing those two guys that have been through it, obviously. Because Tom's been commissioner now. How long has Tom been commissioner? I don't even know. It's been a while, though. God, it's had to been at least 15 years or so, right? Somewhere in that area?
Yeah, at least. I'd have to go back and look at the PBA archives, but yeah, at least 15 years.
So him and Pete Weber have been through the battles and so forth. So to have those two guys kind of sitting there taking it all in, and then even if you go to the first game when A.J. Johnson was out of it at the end, he converts that split. He goes over to Pete and says something and then does the chop or whatever, you know, like Degeneration X, like Pete Weber always used to do. That's kind of cool. I mean, that's the stuff that you kind of wanted to see. And these guys all talking with Kimberly Pressler about, you know, wanting to do it for Pete and yada, yada, yada. And that type of stuff. I don't think it could have went much better as far as what they wanted this to look like and how it came off. I thought that was a pretty cool way to do it. The only thing I would have done differently, and you both know what it would have been, is I would have handed out Pete Weber sunglasses to everybody that showed up in that tournament. Yeah. And the entire crowd would have been wearing some type of sunglasses all in the crowd together in honor of Pete Weber. I think that would have been super cool had they been able to pull that off.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I say, I like Bill O'Neill's comment about dropping the trophy at the beginning of the show. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. That was a funny moment. And everybody got a kick out of it. And Bill O'Neill is, you know, he's one of those guys going to take his jabs whenever the time comes at the end of the day. Phil, the other thing about this is it being in Missouri. And if you don't know, he's from Missouri, obviously. And that's why this makes sense to have that thing there. The TV coverage that came along with it, was he doing a lot of TV interviews and stuff like that when he was down there? Do you know, or how that whole thing played out?
I didn't see him there when I was there early in the tournament because of the PTQ and practice day. He was fighting some food poisoning, he said, on the practice day, so I didn't get to see him there. But I know there was a lot of local news reports out there. I did see one of the local TV stations out there for a couple of days. So, you know, there's more. They covered Pete pretty well. I happened to notice one of the local TV stations that talked about the tournament coming back, and I don't know if they had AI write the report after or something like that, but they call it the Pete Whoever Missouri Classic. I posted that on social media going, that's why we need proofreaders in media. The Pete Whoever. I thought that was kind of a little disrespectful that somebody didn't proofread that. But next time I see Pete, I'm going to go, hey, it's Pete Whoever.
Yeah,
kind of give it to Pete a little bit when I see him, and he'll give it right back to me. There's no doubt about it. But he was classic Pete this week. He was blowing. I heard the story from Nolan Hughes of the PBA because Nolan was down in the settee area, and if you're part of the PBA staff or everything, you have a lanyard that you have to wear while you're in the players area. Nolan forgot his, and Pete didn't recognize him. So Pete's going, "You can just move your ass back up there right now." You know, between shots, and here's Nolan and Brett Spangler from Motive is going, that's Nolan with the PBA. And Brett and Pete start getting into it because Pete doesn't care about, you know, he doesn't see a guy with a lanyard. You recognize him because Nolan had a hoodie on. Get your ass back up in the settee or, you know, back in the fans and stuff like that. So it's just classic Pete. And I'm like, Nolan, you now have a badge of honor of all time. You were yelled at by Pete Weber and survived. It was a great story. But Pete, from what I've heard, Pete was great with the fans all week long. The lines were long for autographs. Obviously, he hung out after he was eliminated from the tournament. The TV show Sunday. You know, I wish they would have taken the chance of strapping a mic pack on him again a little bit more. I know it was an incident a couple of years ago. He let an F-bomb slip when they had him out there. And I think they were just a little cautious with that because Pete, he runs with the emotions. He always has.
This is the thing for me. So I am sure, well, I don't know, Phil might. I don't think Dwight does. Y'all watch WWE, right? Or AEW wrestling nowadays, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I used to watch it, right? Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Savage, so forth. And then I watched it through the Stone Cold era, through the Rock era, whatever. And then after that, I kind of just got bored. I thought the writing sucked and kind of went away. Never really went back.
Yeah.
The one thing that the WWE does, now you can say it's because of the lack of writing that they have for the scripts. They can't develop young talent, whatever you want to say. They live and die with their old wrestlers. Ric Flair is 100. Sting is 100. I mean, a lot of these guys in AEW and WWE are still around. And they will not let them fade to black. They aren't going to allow it. They're going to make them come back out and grab a microphone, say something, do something, whatever, chair shot somebody, whatever. They're going to make them be a part of this. Why? Because that fan base, that's like my age, your age, right? For Flair, you guys are no Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You may turn it on because Ric Flair's on TV and you were a fan of Ric Flair when you were watching wrestling back in the day, right? the PBA Tour needs to take a page out of that. You can't let Pete Weber fade to black. Like, I don't care if the man's not bowling on the PBA 50 Tour anymore. I don't care if the man's not bowling on the PBA Tour anymore. You can't let him fade to black. I mean, you brought back Nelson Burnham Jr. or whatever, and brought him back and put him up there in the TV booth a couple of times. You brought back all these other guys. You cannot allow Pete Weber to not be a part of this tour some way, somehow. Now, how you go about doing that, I'm not quite sure. But to allow the most popular guy you've had on TV for all these years just walk away into the sunset and not keep him included somehow, some way on TV, I think would be a gigantic mistake, Dwight.
Yeah, I kept thinking about when they were showing clips of him winning other titles and his match with Steve Wilson. And I kept thinking about why didn't they show a couple of clips of when they did that documentary called League of Ordinary Gentlemen. And it was really highlighting Pete mainly in that documentary. So it would have been nice if they would have showed just bits and pieces of that during his era.
Well, he had the 30 for 30 on ESPN as well. That was very well done, I thought, with, you know, Pete's troubles and that type of thing. That's something that maybe they could have worked out some with ESPN and gotten a clip or two out of that as well.
But you both agree that they have to keep him involved somehow, some way with this tour going forward outside of this one tournament. Like, I just, to me, there has to be something else, whether he's the third man in the booth for majors,
right?
It's just the majors. That's the only time you see or get to hear Pete with Randy Peterson. Could you imagine the stories you would get between Pete and Randy on a telecast, referencing back to different things that happened on the tour or whatever? There is so much that you could get out of this, but you have to convince him to do it and then see what happens. I'm telling you, people love that dude.
Well, I saw that he had an earpiece. I was surprised they didn't talk to him while the matches were going on. But I know Tom Clark was sitting right next to him, and I just kept thinking to myself, did Tom keep whispering in his ear, hey, Pete, if you're going to say anything, don't swear?
No, I don't think so.
I think Pete learned his lesson from a couple of years ago. So, I mean, once you do it, you're kind of know you did it, and I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I was waiting for that F-bomb to come out.
Right. All right, take a quick time. I'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about what happened at the Pete Weber Missouri Classic and the matches that occurred. Do that next. Coming up here on the Spare Time Bowling Show podcast, download it on your Odyssey app, or if you download your favorite podcast at, also can check us out on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM The Fan. Check out the interviews I do during the week over at 1250amthefan.com. He is Dwight Albert from the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Phil Brilo, Brew City Bowling on Twitter, $2 Phil, as he is known to you. Follow Dwight on Twitter at Dewey300. You can follow me at Sparky Radio. All right, so let's start off first talking about match number one here. Simonson, you know, had to climb the ladder if he was going to win this thing going into this, and we knew that. And right off the bat, AJ Johnson is his opponent. Hey, man, you know, they were talking about on the broadcast, Randy Peterson's like, oh, man, you know, EJ Tackett, man, he's just been on TV. So has AJ Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, AJ Johnson on a couple of TV shows now, part of PBA League, all of that stuff. So we've seen AJ Johnson a bunch this year, like more than we've seen AJ Johnson over the last couple of years. That's for certain. So being able to make TV shows is something. Obviously, baby's still on the way here as everybody's waiting anxiously for the baby to come. But did he bowl all that great? No, he didn't bowl all that great at the end of the day. But as we mentioned there in the first part of the show, you know, he did have the chop with Pete Weber, whatever the case may be, got the hug with Pete and all that. And you could just kind of tell a little bit early on that maybe Simonson was on it a little bit. But also at the same time, you could tell, and throughout this TV show, it still wasn't top notch, top level, you know, bowling necessarily that we're used to watching the last couple of years. There's still stuff going on. You're like, what the hell is going on out here watching this? You still had funky splits and a bunch of stuff going on throughout this TV show, Dwight.
Yeah, 150 games, 159 on Simo's match. And we talked about this in the past that when the winner wins the show, he's typically not pushed. And here's another show, except for EJ's match, where a lot of those matches were over by the 7th-8th frame. I call them gifts. But, you know, at least EJ took him to the 10th frame. But, again, he didn't have a look on the right lane. I love watching AJ. Phil and I called a lot of his shows when we did the high school matches back in the day, 2010, 11, 12. And so I'm real happy to see the kid doing well, now becoming a young man. Love that he's sponsored by KR Strikeforce. So he's sponsored by his grassroots, his hometown. So I just love seeing that. So it's a great story.
And the story this year, at least for the last couple of shows, maybe not so much with the U.S. Open, is, boy, just guys are just having problems with one lane on a pair.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, topography or, and that type of thing, and then it's accentuated by these aggressive bowling balls that they throw. And all of a sudden, you'll see a guy get into trouble. But the difference this week was Simonson in that match against EJ, where he goes flat 10, flat 10, flat 10, mm-hmm. and flat. And you just go, okay, now he's going to have to get up and double the win to get to the mm-hmm. championship match. No. Right. Is he going to have to ball change? What's he going to do? And he just shows how freaking talented he is by staying in the same ball, switching his hand position, moving up on the approach. So he has to throw the ball slower because he takes smaller steps.
Right.
And then just shreds the rack twice. I mean, and just make sure that 10 doesn't stand. That just goes to show how amazing it's not the bowling balls with these guys when they get on TV to make it. If they have the wrong ball, yeah, they can find themselves in disaster in a hurry. But Simonson, the last couple of events he's made TV, you just watch him. He doesn't get himself in trouble with the ball, and he just makes a small fine tune with the hand position or moving up on the approach or whatever, and then he keeps himself in a match and then still gives himself a position to win, and he did it again. It's amazing to watch. And how many times did Pete do that during his career?
Right.
On TV, 37 titles with subtle changes.
And in that match, I think he rolled the dice in the 10th frame. I think he moved in to play the Wally because he knew if he hit the pocket, it was going to be a flat 10. So I think the only way he knew he was going to win that match was to go to the wall shot. And he did back-to-back shots.
Oh, he changed his ball roll too, Dwight. I mean, he changed his hand position. He changed his ball roll to go with it because he knew the ball was losing too much energy. So he got it with a little more side turn. So it saved that energy just enough. Because otherwise, if you hit light, that ball deflects, you're still going to leave a 10-pin on light hit. You got to get that ball to rotate properly down lane and save that energy. And he did it. And it was amazing to watch where everybody bitches all the time about, oh, you can't out-bowl bad ball reaction. Well, you can't outbowl mediocre ball reaction sometimes unless you're an Anthony Simonson or EJ Tackett or some of these guys where they take it. Bill O'Neill, when he won the Players' Championship, he didn't have the greatest ball reaction that day on the stepladder. And look what Bill did. Took home the title because there's just so many tricks that these guys have outside the bowling balls that everybody says, it's the bowling ball. No, it's these damn guys that have so much talent and tricks that we can't do.
Right. Well, in Simonson's case, I think he's got a bigger bag of tricks than most of the guys out there. Most of the guys maybe have two or three different things they can do. And Randy Peterson hit it right on the head. He can do everything. He talked about the backup, changing his axis tilt, rotation, all that stuff.
I don't think it's two or three guys, Dwight. I think it's 20 or 30 guys nowadays on tour that can do that kind of stuff. I'm watching Stu Williams this week when I was down there covering the league. Monday night in Anderson, Indiana, and I'm watching Stewie just come up the back of the ball and just keep it online because it's the Viper pairing this week. And you're Stewie's got 2 three-handers in the tournament qualifying this week already. It's these guys are learning that they just can't sit there and just it's change like balls. They need right. the little things. And you see these guys, that's what they're working on tour. Because the little things is what's the difference between the Simo, the Belmo, the EJ. But it's no different than Tiger. What Tiger changed golf with his physical and all the different tricks he could do with the ball. So all these guys are learning to hook it and slice it and hit stingers and all the other stuff. And all of a sudden, that gap closed a little bit. And Tiger wasn't the only threat to win every week. There's 20 or 30 guys that show up at every one of these events that can win that week. It's just a matter of making the right decisions at the right time, making the, you know, and knowing when to get out of a ball.
You know, I was just going to say, it's great listening to you guys go back and forth about this with Simonson, because I'll be the first one to say, I did not realize he moved up on the approach. I didn't notice it. Phil brings it up. I was like, didn't even notice. I mean, that's the type of stuff where average bowler, right? As we were talking about, buck 57 game, buck 79 game, whatever. Okay, you're right. It looks horrible. And we're all going to say the same thing. That's not good for the PBA Tour. Even though they're difficult shots, even though there's other things in play, average bowler who you want to watch does not want to watch somebody throw a buck 57 or a buck 60 because they do not understand what Phil and Dwight just described. They just don't understand it. Don't get it. I can know what I can do on my house shot. And that's all that matters. And if I'm averaging 230, 235, you should be able to throw at least 215 on a pro shot. For God's sakes, you're a PBA bowler, right? That's how it should be. And it's just not that easy. It's just not that way. And I remember back when we had Van McNeil on this show, and Van decided he was going to try and qualify for a PBA tournament. You remember this, Dwight?
Mm-hmm. Summer series.
Yeah. And I'm going to try, and we're going to document it, and we're going to go through the whole thing.
he gave him a lot of lessons.
And he was just like, holy crap, because he bowled before, right? But he wasn't a PBA bowler. But he was just like, holy crap, Sparky. Like, this is completely not what I thought it was. And it is a eye-opening experience. And obviously, everybody doesn't get to do, you know, that or have that experience, right? Because people don't want to pay the money to try go in there and embarrass themselves or whatever the case may be. But if everybody had a chance to kind of experience what that's like to bowl on that type of stuff, that would be just absolutely remarkable. I would love to see like Milwaukee or whoever put on a PBA style tournament, right? No PBA guys allowed, no PBA card guys allowed. You can't bowl in this. These are just for amateurs, you know, that bowl here locally, and do the same type of format as what they would do on a PBA tour, right? Same type of lane conditions, figure out a PBA condition, whatever else, make them bowl the same amount of games as you would bowl to do it or whatever the case may be, and then see what happens. And then go and put them on, get a TV show, have Phil record or whatever else, work out a deal with a local TV station in Milwaukee with whoever it may be, and see how they deal and handle with all of it. Because it is a grind. When some of these tournaments are bowling 35, 40, 50 games, whatever, these dudes have never bowled that many games. I can guarantee you for that long a period and stretch of time, having to make adjustments and all of that other stuff, that there would be an eye-opening event. And I don't want it on ESPN or nothing like that. I'm just saying for locally to challenge some of these top guys, here, go bowl this. Here, go figure it out. Let's see what you can do. And go from there. And again, not the guys that are on the PBA 50 Tour, not the guys that are on the PBA Tour, just the Joe Schmoes that are bowling in their leagues, you know, around the area to give them a chance to go bowl in it. Yes.
Yeah. Instead of the guys being 500, 600, 700 over for the week, you might see those local guys being 20, 30, 40 over or zero scratch making the top five.
Yeah. Hold on, Dwight, they'd have to have a spare game. How many nine misses do you see out of a league every night you close your pro shop in New Berlin and walk out the door and go down the concourse, and all of a sudden you see nine miss. It's all a lot of that stuff's about the spare game, man. I'm watching guys during the PTQ in Indiana this week that are just missing easy spares and stuff like that. Yep. I mean, and when you get to that level, you can't afford to give anything away.
No.
So these guys can get close to the pocket, but then they're going to get left with, you know, a couple 10 pins in a row, and then all of a sudden they miss one of them. And it forces these players to have such an all-around game, And that's something the amateurs, I don't think, see it as well, because you only see it for 10 frames on TV. And if a guy leaves a split, it's, you know, it's an open frame, but you don't see the guys whiffing spares on TV. Very rarely.
Rarely.
You see a chop here and there, but you don't see the 10-pin, you know, miss that often or that type of thing. And they don't, I don't think they give enough credit to the guys for their spare game. They don't have the time to talk about it either on the show.
Kimberly actually asked during her segment, and I heard "make your spares kids" more than once from the pros.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, let's move on here in the TV show. So Simonson over AJ Johnson, 234 to 159. Match number two, he gets Matt Russo. That really wasn't a match. 247 to 202, but good job by Russo for making a TV show. It's been a while. So Russo gets there. The third match was the match, and everybody expected this to be the match. Let's be honest, going into this thing. Simonson against EJ Tackett. And again, EJ Tackett on TV again. And again, EJ Tackett talking to himself on TV for another TV show. You can just feel the frustration building watching EJ Tackett bowling on TV. It's great that he's getting on TV, but once he's there, he's not being able to finish. And not only is he not being able to finish, he's not been bowling all that great when he's on TV to begin with, Dwight.
Well, he also really, to be honest with you, Sparky, he should have won that match. I mean, he had back-to-back frames with pocket splits. If he just gets a nine spare in those two frames and doesn't leave a pocket 7-10, and I think the other one was a 4-10, I believe, for going slightly high, that match is over. You know, so he bowled better than his score showed in that match.
How bad was he physically, Phil? They said he was having issues during the course of the week with his arm.
Yeah, bicep issue. It didn't seem to give him that much of a problem on the show. The problem was he just wasn't, I mean, he just was getting a little tight, getting the ball off his hand. He needed a crowbar and a couple of the shots before the 10th frame. Watching him this week didn't seem like it was much of a problem, and he's on pace to make the show this week in Indiana. He's leading after with one day to go. So bicep, whatever was bugging him, it's not doing it that often right now. Using it really as an excuse either.
No, he didn't use it as an excuse, but they brought it up on the show that he was having issues with it or whatever the case may be, kind of going into that thing. And as we pointed out earlier in this show, Simonson needed to get the job done there in the 10th frame and was able to. And we documented, you know, how tough it is for him to do what he did and so forth to get that double and adjust after leaving those 10 pins. So he wins 203 to 193. Then we get to the title match. And again, another 150 game there from Bill O'Neill. 224, 156. Simonson over Bill O'Neill. Thoughts on what you saw from Bill O'Neill, Dwight?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had a quick question for Phil. Phil, with these guys that are coming up that are putting so much turn on the ball with their thumb, like an EJ, you see it more than Sparky and I. Do you see more injuries from these guys that are going unannounced or hasn't been talked about on the show?
No. Most of the injuries you hear out there are just basically like a finger or a thumb. Or, you know, Kyle Troop last year had some problems with a finger. And he changed the pitch, and it seemed to you know, get past that in a couple of weeks.
And he talked about that too.
These guys are the guys that are out there week in, week out. They're so good with stretching before they get out there and making sure they're taking their time during warmups, making sure everything's good, type of thing. Yeah, and just the way that the ball drilling's progressed over the years, where, you know, if these guys had to do this stuff 30 years ago, because what was it always back then, Dwight? It was always stretch the damn grip out, fingers out, thumb reverse pitch, so you get out of the ball quick and you can just grip it and rip it. And that's where guys are blowing out wrists and fingers, all that other stuff. That's not an issue even for the guys with their thumb in the ball anymore, because ball drilling has come such a long way. And you'll see, yeah. You know, and you know that right away, where how many guys do you get to come into your shop now compared to 20 years ago that, hey, I've got a sore wrist all the time, or I've got the, and that's even just the casual bowlers that bowl, maybe, you know, the serious casual bowlers that bowl two or three nights a league a week. You don't get that, oh, my wrist is bugging me, or what can we do to fix this? You're not getting that because you guys have such a better science of drilling nowadays than you did 20, 30 years ago. And that just reflects on tour for injuries as well.
Right. And that's also the thanks to Mo Pinnell. Mo Pinnell wasn't out there 30, 40 years ago either. I mean, and he taught thousands of pro shop operators how to fit correctly, how to fit comfortably. I just was thought that maybe because these guys' arms are so bowed and their elbows are so bent to get the high rev rates and they're doing that yo-yo effect with the wrist, that you'd see a lot more hand-wrist injuries.
But to do that, you have to be loose physically. You can't be you can't tense up. If you tense up, you can't bring your elbow, you know, you can't let your elbow relax. You know, they have to stay loose. They have to stay fluid with the swing. It's not getting tight coming through and doing all you can to grip on it like we did 30 years ago. The physicality of the game has changed so much on top of it too, that if you're throwing tight, you're not going to bowl well.
Good stuff, as always. CS Phil Brawl, Dwight Albright, checking in here with the Spare Time Bowling Show. Gentlemen, it was another
thing, which I'm disappointed Sparky didn't mention here. You've talked about how the PBA has always needed a black hat. Black hat. The retiring black hat of Pete Weber passed the torch with this win to Simonson.
That's what I thought. Right.
The torch has been passed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Simonson bowls angry all the time.
He does. I understand he bowls angry, but Pete was at a whole different level. I mean, Pete's yelling at people in the crowd. You just said it. The guy on the PBA tour got yelled at. A writer gets yelled at by Pete. I mean, again, this type of stuff. Simonson ain't that guy. I mean, look, he may be abrasive or whatever and get angry when he's on TV and all of that. But to me, Pete Weber, sunglasses, all that went along with it. Okay. Dwight can tell you about stories of him as a kid ripping through locker rooms and doing all this crazy crap that was on back in the day. So there were a bunch of dudes that weren't, you know, pro Pete guys or whatever the case may be for whatever the reason.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily if Simonson is at that level. And not saying Simonson can't get to that level, but Simonson would have to have a rivalry with a troop or somebody, and kind of like Belmonte and Rash did, where he's got to kind of have to be the anti guy. Like, Kyle Troop's overrated as hell, man. Get out of here. I'm a far better bowler. Something like that, to where that's Kyle Troop's the fan favorite, and Simonson goes heel and just says he's overrated, man. That dude ain't that good. And y'all love him because his big hair and everything else. I'm a way better bowler than that dude. That type of stuff. Or, you know, you're not going to have a water bottle because Tom got rid of water bottles out there. but something along those lines where it's Simonson against one of the faces of the tour. But as we've talked about before, these guys are all friends. Like, you're just not going to have this. Rash and Belmonte were not friends. So that's what led to that. Like, it was real. There was nothing fake. These guys all are guys. They all hang, whatever. Nobody's really – I mean, I don't know. You're on tour – I'm not traveling around these guys like you are, Phil. I mean, are there guys that, you know, aren't pro Kyle Troop or aren't pro guys that don't like these young guys? Because if there is, I haven't seen one on TV yet that has even come close to hinting that they're not.
Yeah, it doesn't reflect while they're bowling. It's all business while they're bowling. If there's stuff off the lanes that's going on,
you don't know.
So far this year, I haven't seen it.
Right. But I mean, if you want to go black hat, If you're okay being ostracized from the rest of the PBA circuit and the rest of the bowlers, and you want to go out on that bridge and see how it feels, then turn on Kyle Troop. That's how you do it. Turn on Kyle Troop. He's the face of this league right now. And we can talk about EJ Tackett and we can talk about Simonson and all that. Does not matter. If I take Kyle Troop, put his hair up, put him out with three, four other bowlers, I guarantee you 95% of the people are going to know who Kyle Troop is before they know who EJ Tackett is or Anthony Simonson or anybody else. So if you want to heal, that person is going to have to take personal shots at Kyle Troop on TV and make it a deal. And I don't think anybody on this tour has any intention of doing that because everybody loves Kyle Troop. And I don't blame them because I love Kyle Troop. But I'm just saying, if you're going to be a heel, It's got to go to that point. It just does.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. Fully.
I thought the part that was interesting was the clip that they showed Pete Weber's last ball for the tournament. I'm sure you guys saw it.
Yeah.
It was over everything. Right. Who was the first person that gave him a hug afterwards? Anthony Simonson.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
First person. Mm-hmm. So I kind of agree with Phil a little bit on the passing of the torch.
Well, I watch Simonson. Does he have a temper from time to time? Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. He has a temper. Okay. I agree with you. But does anybody boo him? Does anybody like go back and forth with him? I mean, I don't know. I don't really see that.
Nobody boos Pete anymore. Nobody booed Marshall.
Not anymore.
Anymore. Marshall was the bad guy. Marshall was the bad guy for how many years?
Yes. Dude, my house was divided. Right. I was a Marshall Holtman guy. My family were Mark Roth family. And we argued every time they were on TV against each other. But that's my point, though. Right. Yeah. That was a black hat. And and he was fine with it. He was comfortable.
Right.
It didn't bother him. He could care less. Whatever. Right. You go love your Mark Roth. I'm the guy. Yeah. And that's how Pete was. I don't care. Yeah. Love whoever you want. I know I'm better. And he didn't care. Now we got a bunch of friends on tour. That's all I'm saying. That to me, that's where it's going to happen. Here, I'll give you another example. We're way off topic, but I don't care. You brought it up. This is another example. The National Football League, right?
Yeah.
When Ditka and Forrest Gregg were coaches of the Packers and the Bears, they hated each other.
Yeah.
Gary Ellerson told a story about how Gregg and Ditka were going to fight underneath the stadium. And both teams had to pull the coaches apart under the stadium so they didn't start fighting under the stadium. Those teams hated each other. Cheap shots, late shots, all that stuff, right? That was a true, we hate you, whatever. The Brewers, back when Ned Yost was the manager, and they had LaCroix, and Tony La Russa was the manager of the other team. And LaCroix's like, we can't stand those guys. We don't like them. We have nothing to do with them. And then you got Yost and his coaches chirping at Pujols in the other dugout, and they're yelling back and forth. Okay, that was a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Coaches didn't like each other. Players didn't like each other. That's a rivalry. But for the most part in professional sports now, everybody gets along. Everybody goes to the club together after the game. We hang out with everybody in the offseason. We go fishing together. We go out on the boats together. You know, we're on TMZ together. That's kind of where we are now. And a lot of this isn't a thing. It's the Brewers and the Cubs, what a rivalry. No, the fans may not like each other, but the players and so forth, they don't care. Craig Counsell's with the Cubs. Again, most upset I've been about anything in local sports in my life. And Pat Murphy was his college coach. Pat Murphy doesn't hate Craig Counsell. There's no chance. There's not going to be anything, any bad blood there. The guys on the Brewers all love Craig Counsell that played for him. So they are going to be upset. I mean, they're not happy that he's not here, but it ain't going to be like that, like LaCroix and La Russa. So you're not going to get that either. And that would have been a perfect chance for that. So that's why I'm just saying, like, for the most part, the days of the black hat are gone. And that's why, back to WWE where we started, The Rock turning heel in WWE, coming back here before WrestleMania, was genius to put him back to a heel here and get everybody to watch wrestling again. And then once he's done, everybody will turn wrestling off again.
Well, Hulk Hogan did that too.
They'll be there.
Hulk Hogan did that, with the NWO.
But Dwight, when Hulk Hogan did it, he was on the national news, like the ABC Nightly News at 5:30 Central Time. They led with Hogan going bad. The guy that says, you know, say your prayers and eat your vitamins has gone bad, blah, blah, blah. It made the national damn nightly news. They weren't talking about anything about wars or anything else. They were talking about Hulk Hogan. Again, the power of a heel in sports and entertainment is so powerful and such a huge thing. NASCAR. Jeff Gordon was a heel.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because everybody loved Dale Earnhardt and how dare some snot-nosed kid from California come and beat some my guy from the South. That's why they hated Gordon. And he was a crybaby. I agree with that. But that's what it was. Kyle Busch forever was a heel in NASCAR, right? Everybody booed Kyle Busch, hated Kyle Busch. That whole era, that's going away too in NASCAR. Because now you got all these young kids. Same thing. They're all friends. A lot of these guys, they get along, whatever. So a lot of that's going to go away too. But I will tell you one thing there, Dwight. I got some news for you.
Okay.
I got a voicemail from IndyCar Radio asking me if WSSP wanted to run the IndyCar radio races on our radio station.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't call him back.
I love IndyCar.
I know you do. I thought of you right away. I'm like, I've just got the white collar.
We have tickets for the Milwaukee Mile for both races.
I know. It's very entertaining. I like IndyCar.
I can't wait for them to come back.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of Spare Time Bowling Show, ending with some IndyCar talk, of course. He is Phil Brilo. Follow him on Twitter at Brew City Bowling. Cheers to you, Phil. Dwight Albrecht over there at Dewey 300. He's headed to bed after a long night drilling bowling balls all day. Follow me at Sparky Radio. Until next time here on the Spare Time Bowling Show, have a good one, y'all. And all I say is toodles.